You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to The Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 54. Decent enough news week. Not too much as far as news goes. A couple of updates, basically some news stories, and that'll be it, and then I'll round out the segment with an app review. I know a lot of news is coming out for the Star Wars Celebration in Europe, so I'll go through some of those stories and talk about those next week as we get some all the information, so it's all in one place. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the episode. So this week's theme is economic efficiency. What this is it's basically a theoretical idea or concept where every resource is optimally allocated with the least amount of waste and inefficiency. So basically what this means is everybody is getting exactly the amount of resources they need. They're doing all the work they need to be doing, and they're not wasting any of the resources, whether direct or indirect, that they have. On the flip side, if any changes are made to this economic efficiency, then any benefit to one person or any harm to one person would cause the opposite effect to another person. So if everything is in economic efficiency, then any additional benefit I hope to gain will be a detriment to somebody else, and vice versa. So if something happens where I'm out of balance and I have a negative economic impact, then someone else will get a benefit, and that efficiency is thrown out of whack. This is, of course, all theoretical because it's something that's hard to measure, especially when you have, for example, a number of employees. So labor and time is inefficient. Resources aren't efficient because, for example, as far as computer hardware may go, not all employees would have this exact same hardware. Ideally, you want to have as close to the same systems as possible. But, for example, if an employee starts today, you're going to have a computer as of today. And then if another employee starts in a year, you're going to have equipment that is as of that point, so a year later. So it all depends. So while economic efficiency is hard to keep in balance 100% of the time, it can be achieved by attempting to make sure everybody has the resources they need and avoiding any inefficiency and making sure that everyone has what they need so that any waste doesn't really, or it's harder for waste to creep into play. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's news. So to start it off, Google Fi got an update to now have high-speed mobile data in more than 135 additional countries for subscribers. So in those countries that are getting access, Google Fi subscribers will no longer be limited to 2G. They'll be getting 4G in those countries as well, or up to 4G if available in those countries. Tidal got an update this week for Android and iOS to now support Chromecast, so you can now easily cast Tidal tracks to your Chromecast-enabled devices. Yahoo added an update to Facebook Messenger via an update to News, Finance, and Weather. So if you do an start a new message at Yahoo News, you can get news stories at Yahoo Finance. It will give you finance news, and Yahoo Weather will give you the latest forecast. And then if you want to get some laughs or have some fun, you can do send a message to @monkeypet. Facebook Messenger also got another update to now support instant articles, and the rollout is starting on Android and will eventually make its way to iOS as well. So if you want those faster Facebook articles, then you'll see that improvement soon or update soon. Microsoft released Skype for Linux this week in alpha, so look out for that client if you want to test it out. Obviously, since it's an alpha, a number of features will be missing, but you can try it out now, see how it works. Amazon released its assistant extension for Microsoft's Edge browser, so if you use the Edge browser on your Windows PC, then you can now have or keep track of your Amazon deals and purchases and orders and all of that good stuff. Nintendo made a pretty cool announcement this week. They're going to be re-releasing the Nintendo console on November 11th in a special way. It's going to be called Nintendo Classic, so it's going to be a mini version of the original Nintendo console. It's going to be on sale for $59.99 and come preloaded with 30 games. and it will have an HDMI connection. So the only notable upgrade there. It will, as far as I could tell, come with one additional controller. So you can play one player game, and or if you can play on your own, or if you want to play with other people, you'll have to buy that a second controller. As far as I could tell, it's also only going to be available in the United States to start. But we'll see as time goes on between now and November 11th. And finally, Amazon Video is getting an update for Android to add the ability to download videos to your SD card. So if you have limited local storage to your device, but you have an SD card in your device, then you'll soon be able to download to that external card. So that's really all there is for that. As far as other news, I know Pokemon Go has been adding countries. So I think Germany and Austria were added, maybe Italy, and a couple of other countries were added. They're still working on server issues, so it's been up and down there, but I'll look out for that. That's all that comes to mind off the top of my head, but various apps have been getting updates, things like that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's app review. It's going to be relatively quick because it's a pretty straightforward app, but the app is Bitly for Android. So this is an app that's already been available for iOS, but now came to Android this week. It's a pretty straightforward app in that you'll still need to sign in, so you can use Facebook or Twitter. I didn't actually check to see if you needed if you could sign in with your own email address, but if you can, it's cool. But I signed in using Twitter. And from here, that's all you need to do. There's no additional setup, no other real things to note. It's pretty straightforward app. So when you're in any app and you can share and you want to shorten the URL, essentially all you'll do is hit the share button, select the Bitly app, and it'll shorten the URL for you and copy it to your clipboard. So if you want to share the shortened URL, you can go to any other app and share that URL. That's pretty much all there is for that. And now, let's say you want to see how many people want to have clicked on your URL. All you do is open the app and you'll see the statistics with the article headline, the full URL, and all of that good stuff. You can also use the app to create a custom URL. So if you open up the shortened URL and hit the menu option and edit, you can create a shortened URL, and the app will tell you if that URL has already been taken. If it has, you'll have to pick something else, obviously. But if not, it'll allow you to save it, and you now have your custom shortened Bitly URL, which you can share anywhere you want straight from the app. Just hit the share button, and you can share it to Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, Google+, email, however you want to share it, and that's all there is for that. So it's available for free in Google Play and for iOS. So definitely worth checking out if you want a URL shortener and if you prefer Bitly. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. So this week's entertainment segment is going to be a little bit of a quick run through. Not too much in the news, not too much for what I watched. I did have a chance to watch one movie this week, or actually two movies. One is in what I watched, and one for review. I had seen it in bits and pieces, never actually had a chance to watch it in its entirety. So now that I have, I can properly give my opinion on it. Then I'll round out the segment with the Star Wars profile. So to start it off with the news, by the time you guys hear this episode, Mr. Robot Season 2 will have started already. It's going to have a two-part season premiere, so episodes 1 and 2 aired at the same time on July 13th. So look out for that. It is on the USA Network and will be immediately available for download on most, I'll assume most places, at least on Amazon Video, for purchase right away. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to finally watch the first or the original Hunger Games movie. Wasn't too bad. I liked what they did with it, but it was actually slower than what I remember in the book, so I don't know if maybe I was just reading the book fast or it was just faster in my head, but I don't know. It was a good movie, but not really much for me, so maybe I'll have to watch some of the sequels and see how it goes from there. I also had a chance to watch Preacher Season 1, Episode 7, He Gone. So not much to say for me here. I'll probably go on your guys' input or if there's any Easter eggs or anything of note to talk about, but I did like the whole sending the guy to Hellbit, and that was really the highlight of the episode for me there. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's film review. So on Amazon Video, 2001 A Space Odyssey is available for streaming, and since I saw that, I decided to give it a watch. In my mind, I thought it was actually a lot longer of a movie, but it's only about 2.5 hours long, but it is a lot longer because of how the movie is done, and in my opinion, could have been a lot shorter. So with that, I'll jump into the review itself. So the movie initially released in the United States on May 15th, 1968. It had a runtime of 149 minutes. A summary of the movie is that humanity finds a mysterious, obviously artificial object buried beneath the lunar surface, and with the intelligent computer HAL 9000, sets off on a quest. It has an IMDb rating of 83%, and on Rotten Tomatoes, it's a 94% critic rating and 89% audience rating. So, overall well received. I will say it is a good movie aside from one major note, in that the movie is a lot slower than I imagined. I don't know, watching it earlier was really slow, so I was thinking at first maybe that's what I thought of it, or that maybe just because I was young and impatient that it was a long movie. And then part of it was I was thinking that it was 3.5 hours long or something like that based on the speed of it, so there must be a lot in the movie. And the third thing was that I was watching it in bits and pieces, so kind of out of order. I only really remember the initial monkey scene with the obelisk and a couple of the HAL 9000 scenes here and there, but that is about it. So watching it all the way through and in order, it makes a lot more sense, but I realize that a lot of the movie is duplicated in that we have scenes that go on and on and on. I understand, like, the space scenes where they want, you know, the idea that when you're in space, you're not necessarily moving as fast as you would think, or you would move relative to being on Earth. Based on the technology, you're not going to be moving at that same speed. But that really didn't explain a lot of the other parts of the movie. So, like, the monkey scene in the beginning seemed to drag on and on and on a lot. It was like 20 minutes before we even got into the rest of the movie. We had a lot of the scientist doctor scenes that I want to say, like, when they're having a lot of their conversations and things like that, they just seem to be there. It didn't seem like there was any particular reason for having multiple scenes that seem to duplicate on themselves, like the doctor or the scientist talking to other scientists, and then having lunch scenes, and then talking to the daughter scene seemed like the best scene out of all of them, especially since we have the doctor having lunch later, and even the lunch scene extras, especially since they have the meeting with the other scientists to talk about what's going on. So a lot of that was duplicate. So to me, it seemed like the movie could have easily cut out probably, like, I don't know, in my mind now, probably like half an hour, maybe 45 minutes of it, and it would have had the same effect. So as far as the review itself, it is a good movie. I like what they're trying to bring to, or what Stanley Kubrick brought to the in the movie. So I do recommend, because of the length of it and the way it's ordered and spaced out, that one watches a movie unedited, ideally commercial free, so you get the full effect in order. But watching the movie in order is very, very important. So it's the progression of man from the beginning with the monkeys to the end with the weird space baby hovering over Earth. If you want to get an idea of kind of where the movie is going or kind of how it feels, it's kind of like THX 1138, except in space and without the politics of it. So, kind of mixing THX 1138 with Interstellar. So it is a good movie overall. I like what they're bringing, the themes and all of that. But the things that bother me are the number of scenes that seem like they're duplicate and repetitive and way too extended, and then also the ending, which I'll get into a little bit. I kind of like the effect of the old age visualization using the Winamp style visualizer, the bump effects and the matte effects going through space, and the end result of it, and that we have the astronaut guy Dave seeing all of this and learning and expanding his mind and all of that. So actually, I kind of like that quite a bit. So I thought it was done well. It was long, but The end result of this particular long scene actually paid off to show that he progressed, that he was going over a far distance, and where he's going is, or he's probably even going as far, as fast as he can on the ship that he's traveling in, so it kind of worked out there. But to round it out, where did that room and food come from? So the ending of the movie is kind of puzzling to me. I don't know if it was puzzling for anyone else, especially just watching it through. I had to do a bunch of research to figure out what the meaning of it was or what the intent of it was. So the general idea from Stanley Kubrick is that everyone's going to have their own interpretation of what the movie is about, where they went, where the ending, what the ending kind of means. So it works best to kind of visualize it in the Interstellar part, where Matthew McConaughey is in that 3D time-space thing at the end of the movie. So that's kind of where the movie ends, but I didn't feel like it was presented as well. So I was kind of confused, like, where did this room come from? Why is he eating? Why is he all of a sudden in the bed? So I was thinking initially that it was probably that he was losing his mind, or he was stuck in his mind somewhere where he's stuck in limbo in space, and that's kind of the effect of traveling through space beyond what he's able to actually do. But then reading more about it, we actually see at the end of the movie we have the obelisk again, and I figured out initially that maybe it was just a residual memory of mine, but the obelisk actually represented technology from an alien race to help different races progress on their evolutionary scale. So it did that initially with the monkeys in the beginning, and that is actually the what it was doing when they found the astronauts on the moon base. And then it's the same thing at the end. It progressed Dave into his own evolutionary form as the perfect human, and to help progress the human race as well. So that was all there, but it just seemed kind of weird and ethereal, I guess, to the point where it didn't make sense. But I wanted to know where they were going with it, because in the context of the doctor guy being in the room, that what it all meant. But overall, in the context of it, it was done very well. I mean, I liked the whole progression. It was done in stages, so it kind of made sense for it all to make sense. I actually thought that the HAL 9000 played a bigger role, and had a bigger role in the movie, but I had a feeling because they went with the whole how the computer breaking down and all that not working optimally, that's why they took it offline and it's not going to participate as much as they expected it to. So I was kind of also half expecting that they have a readout or something, or the doctor is reviewing the readouts and understanding what's going on. But as a spoiler alert, at this point, the doctor was actually in a room as part of a zoo that the aliens built to study various races and help them progress evolutionary. And then once the test subjects reach the peak of their evolutionary scale, they go back and progress the rest of the race and help them move to the next level of their evolution. So overall, I do recommend watching the movie. I will say that it is really, really slow. There is not a lot of dialogue, and it is a lot of music, so there's that going in. So I was thinking that maybe I'd watch it, or I'm not going to watch it again at this so soon, but watching it at like 2x speed or like 1.5 times speed, just to see if that helps any, would help the movie as far as pacing. But it is really slow. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of scenes that may seem repetitive. So like you'll watch something and then like 10, 15 minutes later, you'll get another scene that looks a lot alike, but subtly different. So just a heads up there, but overall worth watching. And I'm glad that I did have a chance to finally watch it. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars profile. Nothing too special for this week. I actually kind of wanted to provide the update for the Star Wars Land Sneak Peek 2 that was released by Disney this week. So we got a new image from Disney with the X-Wing flying over the Star Wars Land, and more details in the market itself. So the mock-up of this image shows Star Wars Land being along the fence of the Big Thunder trailer in Frontierland. So it's, and there's going to be an entrance on that side as well, and it's going to be a 14-acre land, so pretty big there. I think they mentioned that before, but they made note of it this time as well. In the mock-up this time as well, we get more detail on the markets, landing zones, and buildings. We also see Millennium Falcon in one of the hangar bays, and there will be an opportunity to fly it as well as part of the attraction. So definitely pretty cool addition there. And then they provide a link to a high-resolution copy of the image. So if you want to download and use the image as a wallpaper as well, you can do that. You can see how I applied it on my Android device. I posted it to Instagram, so Instagram.com/Patel N01. But I'm glad that we get a little bit more of an intro or a little bit more of a preview there. So that's really all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's You Can Relax segment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by the recently updated Life of an Accounting Droid Patreon, which can be found at patreon.com/PatelN01. Being a patron means you get early access to content as you reach certain goals, so you can get things like the You Can Relax segment early, help support that, or help get that, add to that segment by providing your own things or follow-ups or additional information to have it shared on the show, so you'll get a shout out and I'll add it to the segment. Supporting the show by the Patreon also means you can get things like the app review, movie review, know what the movie is and things like that ahead of time, so I'll include your feedback on the show as well that way as well. And then things like a Q&A segment, removing the ads, getting an Android app, and a lot of great stuff. So be sure to help support the show with whatever amount you feel comfortable with. It's patreon.com/PatelN01. And of course, via paypal.me/PatelN01, where if you are unable to at the moment be part of a regular monthly subscription, you can give a one-time donation to help support the show and whichever segment you like the most or whichever episode you like the most as well. So those links can be found as well via the website at patelN01.com to help support the show and help it grow. If you like the show or any show on the Geek.io network as well, you can help support the Geek.io network on Patreon as well at patreon.com/geek.io, where you can help add more shows, get con coverage and all of that great stuff, so you can get a lot of great content and help us do more and provide more content. So that's patreon.com/geek.io, or check out all of our great sponsors at at geek-io.net. So that's all there is for that. So back to the show. So for this week's You Can Relax segment, I wanted to talk a little bit more about an app that I use. I know I reviewed the widget recently on the episode itself, but I've actually gotten used to using Google Fit quite a bit in my tracking my steps. So I wanted to talk about it a little bit more. So essentially what Google Fit allows you to do is to track the number of steps you take just with your smartphone. You don't need a smartwatch. You don't need any extra hardware. As long as you have a device that supports the app. I want to say it's Android 4.1 and above, but I didn't actually check. But essentially what you can do as a base feature of the app is, as long as there are devices in your pocket, it'll keep track of your steps, so you know how far you walked. You can check the number of miles, approximate calories, and things like that. And then you can also do other things like track your weight over time, so you can say, I weigh this much today, and then you keep entering it over time, so you see if you're gaining weight, losing weight, and just get a general idea of how much you weigh. And then you can also, if other apps integrate with Google Fit, you can keep track of everything in one place. So, for example, if you use the app 7-Minute Workout, after you're done with the workout, it'll sync that data with Google Fit, and you can see all of your stats in one place. So it's definitely an app that's worth it. And for me, it's nice to have just to keep see how many steps I take every day. So if I know that one day I took 2,000 steps, the next day I took one, well, now I have to make it up on the third day. And I can keep track of it over time just to make sure that I'm on top of taking enough breaks, walking enough steps, and generally staying fit. Because I know for me that if I walk around enough during the day, I feel better. Helps walk off lunch and dinner and all of that good stuff. So I'll have a link in the show notes to the post, and which will also have a link to the app in Google Play, or you can search the Google Play Store for Google Fit. So I'm recommending the app itself. just so if you have a smartphone, you can keep track of your steps and you don't have to pay any extra money. And you can see if it's worth going even further to help you in your diet goals and or diet and fitness goals. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or want to just reach out to me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. And you can find me on Twitter at patelN01. All links, past episodes, subscription links, all of that good stuff can be found on the website at patelN01.com. You can find this show or any show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.